Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. I'm back in England. Look, the Wires are back. I'm sure you've missed them over the last few days or so. But yeah, I am back in England. Arrived back yesterday. Pretty torturous journey home from Germany. That was never easy at the best of times. Certainly after a defeat like that, I have to admit, it's taken its toll on me, this defeat. I've been really, really disappointed the last day or so, as I'm sure all of you have watching or listening to this, as we come to terms of Arsenal's Champions League season coming to an end with that defeat in Bayern Munich. Not going to spend too much time talking about that. We spoke about it all yesterday. It's all a bit too fresh and raw as well. I'm sure, like I said, we're all very, very disappointed about it. Mikel Arteta is going to be speaking a little bit later on today, or by the time you're watching this video or listening to it, he might well have already been speaking, because he's got his press conference at the Schober Realty Centre at 1:30, where I'm sure he'll discuss the fallout from that defeat, give a little bit of an update in terms of team news, how the players are feeling ahead of that big, big game at Wolves tomorrow. I will be at Molineux, so straight back on it. 3 points, an absolute necessity for Arsenal if they are going to go on and lift this Premier League title and pick themselves up from the bitter disappointment of back-to-back defeats against Aston Villa and Bayern Munich. So we'll talk about that Wolves game a little bit later on in the show. Got some questions and comments from you guys. Of course, as always, we'll look at some of the decisions facing Mikel Arteta ahead of that game against Wolves. But I wanted to start today. There's been lots of talk following the defeat, lots of reports from journalists who I was with over in Germany, about, you know, how Arsenal are going to react to this defeat, how they're going to react to the Champions League campaign, you know, how they're going to assess it, what they're going to think they need to do differently, how they're going to strengthen ahead of next season to ensure they continue to develop. Look, I said it yesterday, I don't think the Champions League campaign was a bad one. I think myself and James were talking about it on Inside Arsenal Extra Time last night, that how we think it's probably par when you looked at it at the start of the season. You thought, you know, obviously get through the group stages, then see if you can at least reach the quarterfinals, hopefully do more. I'm not saying Arsenal are going to be satisfied. I'm certainly not saying that I'm satisfied. I do feel this was a missed opportunity for Arsenal. I think they could have beaten Bayern Munich had they just shown a little bit more about themselves over the course of the two legs. But quarterfinal, narrow defeat to Bayern Munich in your first year back in the competition after so long away, it's not the worst of campaigns. Definitely could have maybe done more, but not the worst of campaigns. But you want to keep improving on that. And that's the key thing. That's what Arsenal have been trying to do each year under Mikel Arteta, is continue to improve, to build, to make yourself stronger, to go to the next level. And so now this summer, obviously, is going to be about learning the lessons of this season and trying to go to the next level. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in the Premier League. Arsenal still have a fantastic opportunity to win this Premier League. They're 2 points off the top of the table with 6 games to go. Win all 6 games and who knows what will happen. It's going to be tough. The way things are feeling right now, you almost think it's going to be almost impossible, because Arsenal look dead on their feet at the moment. The last 2 games, they've looked exhausted. And so can you pick yourselves up after that, sort of the emotional drain of the defeats, the physical drain of the defeats, and go again when you've got to play Wolves on Saturday, Chelsea on Tuesday, Tottenham away next weekend. Tottenham have had 15 days rest ahead of that game. So it's looking difficult, but it is not impossible. Arsenal still have a really good opportunity to do something special this year. But you still got to look to the summer, and the club are looking to the summer. The club are going to spend. They are going to continue to invest. You know, Edu came out after the game, obviously talked about how proud he was of his team. That's not him saying, you know, all plucky Arsenal have done well to get to the quarterfinals. He was proud of the performance. I don't necessarily think it was a great message to send out, both him and the club on social media, putting out that sort of proud of the journey type thing. I can understand what they were doing or where they're going with it, but I'm not sure it was the best message to send out. But they're not going to stand still. You know, Eddie's not, he's not looking at him saying, I'm proud of these boys. This is the best we're going to do. He is not going to stand still. The club are not going to stand still. They are going to invest. We've seen the reports coming out of the summer ambitions. Ed Ahrens from The Guardian, who I was with over in Munich, you know, he's reported yesterday that Alexander Isak, Michael Olise on the list of targets. We know players like Gyökeres, Sesko are being looked at, and Arsenal will look to improve their forward line and their goal-scoring threat in the summer. That is an absolute no doubt about it. It will happen. It's just a case of who do they get? Who will they get? Is it going? Are they going to get a number nine? Are they going to get or focus their attention more on a sort of wide player who can make the difference in the final third? Will they be able, the budget be able to stretch to get in both of them? These are all big talking points as we head towards the summer. And I think what is absolutely without doubt needed is just a bit of a difference maker for Arsenal in attack. I think that's been pretty obvious as this season has gone on, and it's something they will look to address when the summer arrives. You know, I've said my piece on Alexander Isak a lot of times recently. I think he would be absolutely perfect. I think he'll be an incredibly difficult player to sign because of how much he will be, because of how determined Newcastle are going to be to keep him. So Arsenal might like Alexander Isak. They might want to sign Alexander Isak, but getting it done might be very, very different. Michael Olise is a really interesting one. Obviously, he has a release clause that comes into effect in the summer, which makes him gettable. He's not at a club who are as financially secure or as financially strong as Newcastle, even if Newcastle perhaps do have to sell someone to sort of be able to invest because of FFP regulations or PSR, whatever you want to call it now. And Olise is that kind of that player that Arsenal don't really have. And when you've seen this season, you've seen the struggles. It seems mad to talk about Arsenal's lack of attacking threat when they scored more goals than anyone else in the Premier League this season. But I think it's been pretty obvious, apart from that sort of purple patch at the start of the year when obviously Arsenal blew teams away like Burnley, West Ham and everyone else when they were scoring 5-6 goals basically every single week. So take that purple patch out of it and there's definitely been a struggle, especially when playing against teams who play a low block, which most teams do against Arsenal, to really be able to create something out of nothing. Martin Odegaard's been doing it all by himself, basically. But that one sort of individual maverick type player feels like a player that Arsenal are missing in this squad. And in Michael Olise, that's certainly that type of player. Someone who can do something out of nothing, pull a trick out of the bag, beat players and open teams up. And it's a really interesting one. The thing is with Olise, and similarly with Isak, to be fair, and a few other targets that are there with Arsenal, is the injury record. That is one sort of worry for me with Michael Olise. He's one of those players who tends to be out just as much as he's fit. And that is a concern. But he is a mercurial talent, someone who's just a little bit different, maybe not as he's not quite as structured as a lot of the players that Mikel Arteta likes, but maybe you need someone like that. You need that maverick type player just to be able to do something different in that sort of game against Bayern, which we saw on Tuesday or Wednesday night, when Bayern looked relatively comfortable in that last 25 minutes. Was there anyone from Arsenal who could do something a little bit different that they just wouldn't expect? No, there wasn't. And that could potentially be the sort of player that Arsenal would go for in the summer. As I said, you know, Isak, Olise, Gyökeres, players like that, they're all being linked. But yeah, that sort of that Olise maverick type player is a really, really interesting one for me in terms of what they do. But look, Arsenal will invest this summer. There's no doubt about it. After a big defeat like Arsenal have suffered, immediately all the talk turns to what are they going to do in the transfer window? What are they going to do in the summer? Even at this stage of the season when there's still an awful lot to play for. And I understand that. And it will happen. That's all I can say on it right now. I'd love to sit here and tell you exactly who Arsenal are going to sign, but I can't. It's impossible. I don't, you know, even Arsenal don't know who they're going to sign yet. They're going to be done lots of groundwork by this time. They're going to have their list of targets. But until it comes to actually making bids and seeing if they're going to be successful or not and seeing what sort of reaction the other clubs are going to have, we just don't know what it is. You look back to previous transfer windows, you know, take the January just gone, for example, when Arsenal thought they went into that window, they thought and hoped they were going to sign Caicedo and Mudryk. They didn't because they couldn't get the deals done so quickly. They turned their attentions to Jorginho and Trossard. And that's where they'll be going into this summer. They'll have their list of targets. They'll have their number one. They'll have their number two. And when the window opens, they'll try and get those done. And if they don't, they'll move on to other targets. So it's impossible to say right now who they will sign. But the list of players they are certainly interested in is out there, and I don't think, you know, it will be, I don't think we'll all be too surprised who they end up you know, potentially get in. They're going to be names that we've all looked at and are continuing to be linked, like the ones we've got in front of you on the screen. Andrew here has got in touch and he says, hello, Charles. Thanks for the good work. My observation from these last three games is this. If we want to go to the next level, we need more players who can beat their opponents one-on-one. In these last three games, Bayern and Villa, they all played the same defensive shape and were not able to take advantage because our players were not beating their opponents. Therefore, the defensive structure of the opposition team as able to withstand anything we threw at them. And I think it's a good point, Andrew. It's exactly what I was just talking about, that kind of maverick player who is missing, who, when you face teams like this, when a game falls into the sort of pattern that it has against Villa and Bayern Munich, especially in the second halves, Arsenal don't quite have that maverick, that X factor. And that's why I talk about someone like Elise, and there's, you know, not just him, there's plenty of other players out there who you could potentially look to target who could be that maverick player. I mean, I look at Manchester City at the moment, and you know, it's hard to compare with Arsenal, Manchester. It's hard to compare Manchester City with anyone because of the strength of their squad they have, the strength of their sort of 18 core players that they have, which is bigger than Arsenal. Of course it is, because of the investment they put into that squad. But you look at when things aren't quite going well for them and they need to change things up, you can throw on a Jeremy Doku, for example, that kind of player who's just, you don't know what he's going to do. You know, he just gets on the ball and he'll just run at an opponent. He'll beat them. He can open teams up with his just that pace and that unpredictability of the way he plays. And I'm not sure Arsenal have that right now. You know, if Martinelli's not working, you put on a Leandro Trossard, as good a player as Trossard is, and I think he's a fantastic player. He doesn't have that pace, or, you know, he's technically brilliant, but he doesn't have that pace and that ability to just beat players and open them up the likes of Doku do, the Doku does. And I think that's what Arsenal need to target. So I think that's a really good point, Andrew, that you raise right there. When you look at the numbers that Arsenal's forwards have produced in the last few games, it's no surprise to see they're struggling. I saw Sam Dean write a really good piece in the Telegraph, actually talking about Arsenal's attacking issues at the moment. And he put out the stats, said Martinelli, one goal in 11 games. Jesus, one goal in his last 13. Havertz, one in his last 7. Saka, 2 in his last 8. You know, these key moments of the season when the big games come, and your forwards aren't scoring, the players you've been relying on, who you should rely on to score the goals, aren't scoring, then life is going to become pretty, pretty difficult. And I think it's absolutely very, very apparent at the moment that Saka and Martinelli seem to be running on fumes a bit. Saka especially looks absolutely exhausted and he doesn't look fit. He doesn't look like he's walking very well. He's always got a limp on him at the moment. And these are the sort of numbers that are doing the rounds in terms of total minutes played in the PL and Champions League this season. And the max total you can have at this point is 3,810. You know, Saliba just under that, Gabriel not far under that. Then you've got Declan Rice, Odegaard and Saka, players like that. White, Raya, Havertz. You've got that core group, and Martinelli adding to that as well. And that's the thing. I think at the moment Arsenal have had, and injuries haven't helped them, because I think there's some players who are very, very versatile who'd have really helped lessen the load on other players in the squad had they been available for the full season. And I look at Thomas Partey, for example, and I know he's not playing that much now since he's come back from injury, but I think had he been fit all season, he would have played a lot, and that would have given Arteta the opportunity to rest some of his other players. And Jurrien Timber's another classic example of that. They would have played more. So those injuries didn't help them. Tomiyasu as well, who's been injured for so much, you can play in a multitude of positions. But then you have that sort of core, don't you, about 8 players with Arsenal at the moment who have had to absorb most of the load this season. And I think if you want to have a squad that is capable of really staying at their very, very best this deep into the season, you need that to be sort of those minutes shared over, I don't know, at least 12 or 13 players rather than 8 or 9. And Manchester City, I think when you look at them now, you know, their squad, the minutes will be very evenly balanced between 13 and 14 players, I imagine. And then even the ones from 15 to 18 would have played an awful lot of minutes. When you look at Arsenal, it's 7 or 8 players. Then you get a little bit below that. But when you look at the likes of, you look under Aaron Ramsdale, if you're watching on YouTube in this list, you look under Aaron Ramsdale at those players, Thomas Partey, 372 minutes this season. Emil Smith-Rowe, Fabio Vieira, both under 370. Reece Nelson, 431. Those are the players that I think next season Arsenal will look to have, those sort of players, probably not the club anymore, and they will be replaced with players who Mikel clearly does trust a lot more, who would hope to sort of share the burden and share the minutes load throughout the season. Because it's when you look at these numbers, it's no surprise that Arsenal are looking jaded right now. It really, really isn't.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Abilo87 has got in touch here and he says, hey Charles, I'm not an Arteta out for 1 second, but my concern is that we are watching part three of the trilogy, Arsenal Fades Away in April. That doesn't sound like a very fun movie. In both the Villa and Bayern games, you ran out of steam in the second half. MA demands so much from the forward line, hard pressing, tracking back, and we expect them to take on defenders and be creative. This makes us so difficult to play against, but we need reinforcements in rotation. Odegaard and Saka have been running to the ground lately and have literally been limping around on the pitch. The likes of Vieira and ESR have been underutilized. We see them for a cameo. They look bright and effective, and then they're gone again for 2 months. We're all excited to see Partey back for the run-in, and he's barely featured. Yes, he's looked a bit rusty, but that isn't going to fix itself while sitting on the bench. It's evident he doesn't trust some fringe players, but the strategy isn't working either, and it's becoming repetitive. We have a lot to be grateful for when it comes to Arteta, and the season isn't over. I truly hope we can push City to the end, but I'm concerned we're running out of steam, and if Arteta doesn't adapt, then we may be watching part four of this series next season. Thanks as always for the great content. It's a really good comment, Abilo, and you're certainly not the only person to think like that, and I, to be fair, I think like that as well. I think he's definitely underutilized the squad at times this season. Even if he doesn't really trust some of these players, he could have still used them more. Smith Rowe's a great example of that. Vieira, since he's come back from injury, we've just not seen him at all. Whether, you know, you say, well, he's not good enough, but a lot of people say he's not good enough and that's why we're not seeing him. But still, you spent £35 million on him. He was looking quite bright at the start of the season. And as you say, if your players are looking rusty, like Thomas Partey is, for example, since he's come back, that's not going to change unless you do start to give him minutes. So it's a tough one as well, because they're all coming in at the business end of the season when there's so much to play for. And Arsenal, as I said yesterday, have been playing catch up since the start of the season, since the start of the year, sorry, because of those two defeats to West Ham and Fulham. They left them behind Man City and Liverpool. They've been playing catch-up ever since. They had to be basically perfect, which they were, winning 10 out of 11 games in the league and drawing the other one, which was a draw at City, of course. So it was basically perfect for 3 months. But to maintain that level is so, so difficult. But if you don't really trust the players you've got coming in and you have to win every game, you can kind of understand why Arteta's just like, you know what, I've got to keep playing them because we have to win every single game. And if I don't play them and I play players that I don't trust, I don't think we will win every single game. So I can kind of see it from his point of view as well, but I can see it from fans' point of view and for how I'm feeling about it. And I think ultimately the only way of changing it is by bringing in players that you actually do trust. If you don't trust Emile Smith-Rowe, if you don't trust Reece Nelson to really be able to make an impact, Eddie Nketiah, Fabio Vieira, then you just got to replace them. And that has to happen this summer, because we can't be in this situation again next season where the players just look absolutely spent because only a very, you know, 8 or 9 of them have been asked to play pretty much every single game of the season. So looking ahead to the game against Wolves, I think it's really, really interesting what Mikel might do for this game because of everything we've just talked about, because of how clearly the players look tired in the last couple of games. It's like, what do you do? Do you continue to persist with the same starting 11, even though what we've seen in the last two games, it looks very apparent that players are just running on fumes right now? Do you continue to persist with that and hope that something changes, or do you bring in some fresh faces? You know, Leandro Trossard, for example, do you play him as a false nine? It's his best position. It's where he plays very well for Arsenal, and I think others play well when he plays there. We've been going with Kai Havertz for a while, who I think has done very, very well filling in there. But is this the time to maybe change things up a bit and play a Trossard? Jesus has had a couple of opportunities, hasn't really taken them. Do you move things around and try and put out a fresh team against Wolves to just force a little bit of a different sort of performance to what we've seen in the last week? So do you bring Thomas Partey back into midfield and play him alongside of Declan Rice, for example, and hope to get a little bit more progressive passing coming from the midfield? You know, do you play Zinchenko in midfield finally to make something, just do something a little bit different to try and change results that we've seen in the last week or so? Like I said, Trossard up front, there are options there for Mikel Emile Smith Rowe, who was man of the match in the last Premier League game he started. We haven't seen him start a game since then. He's barely featured at all, apart from a few minutes in that game against Aston Villa when the momentum had already very much shifted into Aston Villa's favour. So there are things he can do. He does have a fully available squad available to him. So I'm really intrigued to see what he does against Wolves. Love to get your thoughts. What would your starting 11 be from that game? Let me know in the comments below and I'll include some of those in tomorrow's preview show ahead of the game against Wolves. There's certainly a lot of big decisions for him to make. Just before going on to a couple of comments from you guys before wrapping this up, just wanted to point out, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but sadly, Sir Chips Keswick, obviously former Arsenal chairman, director, has passed away. Arsenal putting out a statement this morning announcing that. Says it's great sadness that the club reports the death of former chairman Sir Chips Keswick. Sir Chips will be greatly missed by everyone at Arsenal who knew him. We extend our deepest sympathies to his wife, Lady Sarah, and their children, David, Tobias, and Adam. Sir Chips Keswick, obviously, was a big part of Arsenal, filled in as chairman after Peter Hillwood left his position and did it very, very well. He's a big Arsenal fan, huge Arsenal fan. I met him a couple of times and it is sad news that Sir Chips has passed away. So just wanted to point that out in case any of you hadn't spotted the tribute Arsenal had put out earlier. Okay, finally, just wrapping things up with a couple of comments from you guys, a couple more comments from you guys. Aaron here has got in touch, says, during the last 24 hours, there are so many reports in England regarding Arsenal's summer transfer plan. What was intriguing was that Arsenal see Pedro Neto as a priority winger signing. I have similar opinions on Neto with you. He is injury prone, but he's a hell of a talent. Would we want him as a regular starter? I don't think so. But if we manage his game time carefully and can use whenever Sacre Martinelli seems to run out of steam, it would be good signing. Overall, I still think I would welcome the signing of Neto. I'm not sure he's Arsenal's priority signing. He's a player Arsenal have liked for a long, long time. I'm absolutely 100% that is the case. And he was high up on the list of their targets. I don't know if the latest injury has lessen their interest or not. Ultimately, we're going to have to wait and see in the summer if they do press the button and really sort of push for Pedro Neto. He's definitely a player that they like. I just don't know if he's a priority. Look, I think he's fantastic. I've been fully on board the Pedro Neto train for a while because I think he fits Arsenal perfectly. But I have to say the latest hamstring injury has just made me think, there'd be nothing worse than spending 60 million or whatever it will take to sign Pedro Neto. And then basically next season, he's out for at least three big chunks of it with three separate hamstring injuries. And so the latest one has made me worried. But again, I think he'd be perfect. And when you talk about there, you say, would we want him as a regular starter? I think we need to get away from that. I really, really do. You know, you look at Manchester City and like, who are the regular starters in their attack? Apart from, Haaland and De Bruyne when they're fit. Other than that, it's like one week it'll be Doku out wide. One week it'll be Grealish. One week it'll be Foden playing in those positions as well. You know, they interchange. And I think that's what Arsenal need to do. And if you sign someone like Neto, and I'm not pushing for it, definitely. But if you do sign someone like Neto, then one week you can have Neto playing there. One week you can have Martinelli. And that's how you lessen load on these players. And you stop what's happening now, or appears to be happening to now, happening on a regular basis because you're sharing the minutes. So I don't think anyone needs to be a definite regular starter in this Arsenal team going forward. Maybe a few, you know, your key players, your Declan Rice, your Salibas, Gabriels. But everywhere else, I think you just have to build this squad and keep building this squad. So you've got 15, 16, 17, 18 players that you can just bring in and out of the team each week when you want to make sure everyone's fit and that the minutes are shared as the season goes by. And finally here from Michael says, hey, Charles, lots of talk about Arsenal finally signing that big shiny striker to complete the attack. However, if a star striker is signed, what happens to 70 million Havertz? I think Arteta has admitted defeat to the Havertz midfield plan. This season has shown that Havertz is clearly better in attack than in midfield. Signing a striker could be a big admission of failure for Arteta. But again, I don't see why it would be an admission of failure. He would still play lots of games. You know, Manchester City spent 100 million on Jack Grealish two seasons ago. Apart from about a sort of 2 month spell towards the end of last season, he's almost been a substitute. And that's what it is. Look at Guardiola. How much they spend on Guardiola? Hasn't been an absolute regular starter this season. It's not a failure on Pep Guardiola. It's just building the squad and having this incredible squad that you can just use players throughout. So if Arsenal go out and sign a striker this season, go out and sign a new left eight type player this summer, and that means that Havertz isn't playing every single week, doesn't mean it's a failure. He's still going to have a massive part to play. He's still going to be a key member of the squad. He's going to play a lot of games next season. It's just about squad building. And if Arsenal want, and we all want them to, you can see by the reaction to the defeat of the last two defeats, Arsenal fans want to be competing for the biggest of honours and be good enough to compete with Manchester City with Real Madrid for the Champions League and for the Premier League. And if they're going to do that, then they need a squad that's capable of it. And so signing a striker, signing a left eight, that means that Havertz isn't starting every single week. That's not, it shouldn't be viewed as a failure. It should be viewed as a positive, because it's just going to be a really strong squad with loads of different options that you can use. So that's my view on it anyway. But let me know what you guys think on that. Okay, that's it from me, everyone, today. Thank you very much for watching or for listening once again. Appreciate all your time. Mikel Arteta will be speaking a little bit later on today in his press conference, so we should get some updates from him in terms of how the squad is shaping up ahead of that big, big game at Wolves. I will be at Molineux tomorrow. I will try and do a preview show in the morning ahead of that game. If you want to get involved in it in terms of who you think should be starting or anything you've heard in this video that you want to discuss, you know what to do. Get into the comments below and I'll pull some of them together and get them included in tomorrow's show. Until then, everyone, have a fantastic Friday. Enjoy your start to your weekend. I'll be back to do it all over again very, very soon. Bye-bye.